By the way, the Denver Broncos, don't be surprised if veteran running back J.K. Dobbins is their leading rusher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever. That's kind of a fantasy thing instead. You know,
yeah, a little
RJ Harvey, J.K. Dobbins, whatever.
But in our league with 16 teams and
they're all going to get
you
drafted.
Start two running backs and then you have a third in your flex position, you're talking about going 50 deep at the running back position in our draft.
I got a draft tonight that was supposed to be 14 people and two people just dropped out of the league. And I'm
okay.
Like, yeah, yes. I like both the guys a lot. I want them to be there.
Which league is this? Is this high school buddies or?
No, this is so stupid.
Neighborhood dads?
Neighbor.
It's the neighborhood dads.
The kids started a league. We helped them start a league last year. I opened my big mouth. Big mouth, big mouth.
Nice.
I opened my big mouth and I said, you know where this is heading, right? I was making a joke. I'm sitting there eating Ruffles and I'm like, you all know what we're doing next year, right? We're doing a league. And then they were all like, yeah. And I'm like, so here we are. So I didn't have the power to say no. So it's my 27th league.
There you go.
And whatever, we're doing it tonight at a pizza joint. We'll have a couple pops.
Nice.
And go home.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be great. So whatever.
And then after that, you're down to just one draft, right?
No, that'll be two.
You got two more to go.
We haven't had the family draft yet.
Oh, that's right.
That's on Labor
Will
Day.
You help me with my tight end?
You get my mom on a Zoom and do a fantasy draft. It's the She gets so mad at my dad. Because that clock.
They're a team, right?
They're a team. They call themselves the Elders. And that clock, 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 they don't know what's happening.
I love the young people.
They're on a computer. They're 83 years old. It's round 11.
Yeah.
They don't know who these people are.
Is Wilfred Brimley still available?
The clock's rolling down, and my mom is just giving it to my dad. Tom, will you just make a decision? Like, it's just, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. Anyway, 888-957-9570. Yeah, is this Juwan Jennings situation, is that worrying you? Like, just focus on him. And I think a lot of you are going to say no. And if you're saying no, well, then there you go. There you go. You have a window into why the 49ers are playing this the way they're playing it.
Right, because they're probably more worried than the fans, but they've gone out and made contingency plans, trading for Sky Moore, bringing in MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who only plays with MVPs, and you got Russell Gage on the practice squad, Kendrick Bourne coming in for a Monday visit. So the 49ers, if they were really, really that worried about it, then they would have signed Juwan Jennings. If they didn't think that they could have a workaround in case this thing is still lingering, and it is.
Kyle Shanahan said this yesterday when he was asked, do you see Juwan differently now that he's requested a trade?
No, that doesn't faze me at all. I don't think it has anything to do with team chemistry. And that only has anything to do with how we approach each other, how we spend our time with each other. That has to do with business decisions. And those are the business decisions people make. But I don't look at any of that stuff. I mean, you get a tweet of that while you're on your vacation, and I don't get the tweets, but when people copy a tweet and send it to me, that's about all I get, and I usually move on with my life.
It's so funny.
Kyle's not on Twitter, so people send me the tweets.
Yeah, I mean, there's tweets, and then people send me the tweets, and I don't see the tweets and stuff, but then they send me the tweets, and so eventually I see the tweets, and yeah.
Remember when he saw the tweet when people did the whole lip read gate with Jimmy Garoppolo, who apparently was like, these plays these plays suck,
really?
Which is not, I don't know what Jimmy was saying, but it was during the run out the back of the end zone game.
Right.
Yeah.
See it.
The pick eight by Jimmy.
That was Denver, I think,
it
right?
It was Denver.
Yeah.
It was Denver. And you that was a great... It was a great game for you. Didn't you like accidentally predict that the final score would be like 11 to
something like that?
Seven.
That
or
was kind of my bit that year. Every week it'd be like 11 to 9, or you know, you go with 17 or 18 to 11. Try to find the most random numbers, and I'm gonna try to focus on scoregamis this year, which is a score that's never happened in the NFL ever. That's what they call a scoregami.
Well, outside like something being up in the 80s. What the hell? What has not happened?
I can show you the list. Some weird ones are still out there. Like
38
a team
to
has
two.
Five, for example.
That happens.
Yeah, but you know, if it's like 11-5, I don't know if there's ever been an 11-5 game.
The Niners beat the Eagles in the playoffs years ago, 14-5. Can someone look that up? Granny, will you look that up? And this is going way, this going back a ways now. Like
what's the score?
Steve Young era, did the Niners beat the Eagles in the playoffs one year 14-5? I swear they did. Memory could be playing some tricks on me.
Yeah.
But I feel like they beat the Eagles one year 14-5 in the playoffs in the Steve Young era. So go back to the 90s.
There have been two 14-5 games in the regular season. Okay. I think this is just, might be playoffs too, but I got an 8-5. I see a 9-5. I don't see 18-5. Five
I see
doesn't
a 14
happen a lot.
14-0.
14-0.
In the playoffs.
In 96.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do see that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe my mind's playing tricks on me. I'm probably blending two games together. But anyway.
20-17 is the most common score ever. There have been 297 of those.
Wow. That's boring.
And that's back in the day, a lot of them. Because now, I mean, everybody's putting up 25, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, there's some teams that are struggling to move the rock a little bit. You know what I mean?
That's true.
The NFC South is going to have some 2017 games now this year.
Yeah, they probably could.
They're going to do that.
Quietly, the Niners, I think Niners and Seattle is a game where,
it could
you know,
be.
I don't want to give out the fade the Dibbers pick, but as far as a total, I would lean toward the under in that one.
I think you're going to get two high-performing defenses in that football game. I'm going to predict that actually right away. Let's say the Niners do win, but it's not going to be all offensively sparkly. And people will immediately point to the wide receiver room for the 49ers, no doubt. But I'm going to keep that in mind at least for week one, that Seattle's defense this year is quietly highly touted.
Yeah. And
I'm
another one.
A lot of people on the inside, Cosell being one of them, they like that Seattle defense.
I think the New York Giants defense as well. I was reading, maybe that was in the don't be surprised if.
They can rush the passer.
Right. And so I think that was one of the things they put in that do not be surprised if, talking about the Giants being able to rack up big sack totals.
Roster moves for week one. Obviously, this is still a living, breathing thing. Marquez Valdes-Scantling today, by the way, like yesterday, they're like, yeah, we brought him in. He's on our team now. And then today, he's on the practice squad.
That was fast.
Yeah, but Kendrick Bourne, he might come in. That, like, I'm sure MVS will get elevated next week to the regular season team, like for the game, that is, provided the Juwan Jennings situation is not figured out. So anyway, there's still a lot of dancing around for week one. Here's what Kyle said about the difficulties there.
It's always difficult. You know, it's difficult in week eight when you have a bunch of guys go down the week before too. And you're sitting there and you don't have those guys on practice squad and you're not sure how you're going to put it together, but you find a way to figure it out and show up the next Sunday. So, you know, at week one, it can be a little bit different, but these are times that you go through always as a coach at some time in the year. I'm glad that we have gotten a lot of our injured guys back. Some joining in on practice on Monday. We'll have more out there today. So hopefully we'll keep having better luck with that.
Yeah, that's the one thing that probably is at the core of where I stand today, kind of wondering, are you scared? Is the Juwan Jennings thing worrying you? Do you have other worries? Like, everybody can be like, sure, the wide receiver room.
Right.
I'm kind of worried about that. But I've heard a whole August of this team's decimated by injuries. And all of a sudden, it's like, no, they're not. No, they're not. They're actually not hurt anywhere other than the two dudes who we've known are going to miss large chunks of the season because they got hurt a long time ago.
Right.
And I'm not one of these people who believes that Juwan Jennings is actually hurt.
Yeah, whether or not he's hurt, the contract is still a thing. But even if Juwan is hurt, he's on a short list of starters on your 22. You're starting 11 who actually would be hurt to the point where they can't play. Even Dominic Pooney, who got hurt in a preseason game. Ooh, the knee. And then it's like, oh, he should be ready for week one. And that's been the case with just about everybody.
I mean, there's Watkins and Cowing, but I'm also like, when the hell did Watkins and Cowing ever do anything? You know, I'm hopeful too, but one of them.
Yeah, those guys are twos.
One of them's never played in the NFL, and the other one has barely played in the NFL. So it's not like the Niners are heading to Seattle and relying heavily on Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing. So Anyway, I think that there's at least the chance for strong level of health to start the year for this team. Tim Kawakami, as dialed in and as tapped in as anybody in this town with regard to everything going on. Very much so the Juwan situation. Hell, we can throw in some Warrior stuff too toward the end, but he's dialed in and we've got questions to ask in terms of how this whole thing is going to look and play out. He's going to join us next. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
What do you think is going to happen in this game, Sting?
That's a great, I think it's going to be a really tight game.
On 95.7 The Game.
By the way, for people who listen to the show a lot and get that one a lot, that was before the Niners played the Chiefs last year. And it was not that tight. It wasn't like a blowout, but what, they lose by 10? 28-18? 28-18 is my memory, which clearly is not working because I don't know where the whole 14-5 thing came from, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's ride. You want to get some info? You want to find out what the heck's actually going on? Our guy, Tim Kawakami, the TK Pod, SF Standard, River Island's guest line, joining us now on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Tim, what's cooking?
Hey, just kind of waiting to see what the 49ers can finally put together a final roster. I don't know. That might never happen. But they've got some moves they still got to make. There's a regular season coming up, and it's been kind of fun just seeing how fluid it all is. This is a sign of a sort of unsettled team right now, but we'll see. Maybe put together for the early part of the season, but it's definitely unsettled.
Let's talk about Juwan, obviously, first here, Tim. And what would you say to a person, and I'll raise my hand as one of them, what would you say to a person who says, I don't believe that this injury is a thing anymore, actually? It's not about that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I said sort of got an inkling that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch might sort of agree with you. I think from the beginning there was an injury and there was also a contract dispute. It was both things. What percentage of what side is, you know, more true than not? It's probably had a sliding scale as time has gone on, but I don't think there's much dispute that it's part of the reason why he's not practicing, or at least is influencing whether he would want to press himself coming back to practice. I don't know. As Jim Harbaugh would say, I'm not inside his head or his legs, so I'm not sure, but I think you can kind of lead into that one. But also, you know, if you're a player and you think you're underpaid and you have a slight injury, you probably aren't as motivated in the world to, you know, go out there and maybe re-injure it and make it worse. You know, this is pretty big season for Juwan Jennings. But on the other side, this is pretty big season to want to play, right? You would think you'd want to play. And I think that's the 49ers' frustration. It's all parts of it. It's all a mix. You know, they have to be sort of careful and, you know, understand that there are injuries in the NFL. You don't want to push a player out there if he's hurt, but strong suspicion is that the contract, if there's a new contract, that Kaepernick would feel a lot better, pretty easy. Like Michael Parsons back, I think, feels a lot better as of about an hour ago after being traded from the Cowboys to the Packers. He was claiming that's why he couldn't practice. So it's all part of it. I think everybody understands, you know, Ayuk was the same thing last year. I think even more of a mysterious injury. And they basically challenged him that he was healthy at the end there, and you got to get back to practicing. And then guess what? New contract, he was back practicing. This is a similar thing. They're just not going to pay him as much as they paid Ayuk. It's just period. So it's different in that way. And I think they think they have the leverage on Juwan, and we'll see what happens in the next 3-4 days.
Have you gotten any sense, either on or off the record, as to what the ask is from Juwan or where the 49ers are sitting? It seems to me, Tim, that these two sides are pretty far apart, but have you gotten any inkling as to what Juwan and his camp are asking for?
Well, I mean, what you hear, not from the camp, but from, you know, NFL circles, is that it's high. You know, it's above 20 is what I've heard, and maybe a lot above 20 a year. To put him in the top 20 or so of receivers in that realm. 49ers have done it before with Brandon Ayuk. So, like, there is precedent for lifting a guy way up on the higher ranks of the receiver salaries. What I've heard from the 49ers side in the air on that one is that they don't want to do anything. Like, they are negotiating. I think there have been numbers exchanged, but they just redid his deal last year. And that's before he got 977 yards receiving. That's before he was the, you know, first receiver, basically, last year when Ayuk got hurt. That's before a lot of other things happened. But, you know, their chance is, we keep doing you every year, we're going to come back and do it again, and then we're going to tell Colton McKivitz, we're going to tell Trent Williams, we're going to tell, you know, Brock Purdy to, you know, whatever. So you understand that precedent that they don't want to break. But, you know, it's everything. If you ask me what the dollars are, I would tell you, just from my opinion, is that it's not close. It's not even close. Now, at some point, you got to either make a deal or not. And the 49ers want him on the field on week one. And Juwan Jennings probably doesn't want to go on injury reserve or get deactivated or whatever could happen in the next few days if he's not practicing. But in my everything I've heard is, like, it's like he wants a lot and the 49ers are offering very little. I'll put it that way. If I could generalize it like that, and I think we can all kind of write in what the money terms are based on that, but it's far apart. I've been hearing this. I've been riding this for several weeks now. Right, it's not close, and it's pretty clear it's not close still.
Tim Kawakami with us on Willard and Dibs. Okay, Tim, that this is all really interesting, because here's where my mind went yesterday, and maybe it pairs with what you just said that the Niners are thinking. I'm thinking much beyond this year, and wondering, with two other first round draft picks at the position, one of them having already been paid, plus two young guys they really like in Cowing and Watkins, Robinson on a two-year deal. Do they even want to be in the Juwan Jennings business beyond this year?
You know, I think I've been saying for a little while, I don't think he's going to be on the team next year. You know, I think they want him this year. And you know, maybe Kyle Shanahan has a different opinion of that, because he has been good for them. He does all the physical things that they want out of receiver, and he can make, you know, big catches. That's a nice combination for them. But I think they're tired of this with the receivers, frankly. You know, they traded Debo. There certainly were contractual stuff with Debo. There was a trade request from Debo. They obviously went through a painful thing with Ayuk last year, which they, a deal that they do not like. They regret it almost immediately. And then he got hurt. Did not play well before he got hurt. So just to have this happen again, I think really puts them on the feeling that they don't need to be in the Juwan Jennings business much longer. But I think they want him on the team this year. He is, like, who's going to play receiver for them, you know, if it's not him? You have Ricky Pearsall, who has not been through a healthy season. I think they really think a lot of Ricky Pearsall. Obviously, he was a former first-round pick, somebody that it fits what Shanahan likes in his offense, but you don't know. And then you need other people. And you can believe whatever you know, want to out of young players, or Russell Gage, or, you know, Sky Moore, or whoever, if they get Kendrick Bourne back. But, you know, these are not, you know, ace receivers. These are not studs. I think they want Juwan on this team, but they don't, you know, there's a line here that they, you know, they don't want him that bad, you know, where they're going to bust up President and pay him $22 million. But that's not happening. They got to the point with Ayuk where they just had him on the field. Like, they just had to have Brandon Ayuk on the team last year, so they paid it, and they regretted it, and then he got hurt. So I think Juwan's suffering from some of that, where it's a separate situation, but they don't ever want to go down that road again. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be on the team next year, and, you know, who knows how much longer he's going to be on the team this year. If he's going to be on the field, I don't know. But, yeah, there is a great weariness, and you could probably put stronger words on that, from the 49ers side, on Juwan Jennings and the whole wide receiver thing. And he's getting the brunt of it, but he also redid his deal last year. And I don't know if they told him last year, we're not doing this again. I don't know if they did, but they're basically saying it now. We are not doing this 1 year after you just did it. If you wanted to get redone now, you shouldn't have done it last year. Again, I don't know if these words are being said, but that's the implication, certainly by the behavior and by the complete sit stalemate right now.
Yeah, and the feel also that I got yesterday, Tim, is that they're not trading him either. So either they tried a little bit and they didn't get offers that they thought were in their liking, but I was hearing from John Lynch yesterday, like, we're not interested in doing that.
Yeah, well, so they said about Debo too, right? So, you know, who knows? Like, you say it until you do it.
Right.
But my point on Juwan is, like, I don't know what they get for Juwan Jennings. 28 years old, calf injuries recently, certainly not a fast player. He's important to the 49ers, but would he be that important to other teams? I think they'd get like a fifth-round pick, maybe a fifth-round pick for him. So if you know that going in, you know that, then why even have the conversation? Because it's really not that big a deal. You're not changing your draft capital, you know, your arsenal very much if you get a sixth-round pick for Juwan Jennings. So maybe you don't even have the discussion. Eventually, if they're ready to like offload it from him forever, then yes, you take whatever you can get. But I think they can always do that. It's just not where teams are calling them up and saying, "Oh my God, we gotta get this guy from you." That's like they were for Ayuk. Frankly, the teams were calling for Ayuk. It wasn't, you know, knock you down over with a first round pick and what else can we throw you? But it was something. Teams were willing to give up a second round pick or so. Same thing with Deebo a couple of years ago. That's just not Juwan's market. It's this weird kind of thing where he's valuable to what the 49ers do in some, you know, in some level. We know what it is, but he's not that valuable to other teams. He's just not. And Deebo was sort of similar, right? Even when he was racking up all those run yards and receiving yards, but he was getting banged up. And what's he really worth to another team? You know, if they could have got a first round pick for Deebo a couple of years ago, I think they would have done it. Nobody was offering that. So it just becomes this. He's certainly valuable to the 49ers and was valuable last year. But of course he was wide receiver one on a 6-11 team last year. You know, it's not his fault, but it's not like that's the guy who's going to go win the game, certainly. So it's just weird conjunction of two sides that don't have a ton of leverage and just makes this situation where nothing moves. And something's going to move in the next 4 days, I would say, next 5 days. Something is going to move. Everything that I've heard now, he's already asked to be traded, so maybe he's made his move. Again, you know, when John Lynch said that, we're not doing it, I just flashed it. He said that about Deebo at the end of last year. When everyone knew they would, right? Everyone knew they were moving on from Deebo, and he said, we're not training him. Well, you say that until you're ready to do it. But on this one, I don't know what they would get. I see an IR move or deactivation, or if it really comes down to it, if things really get bad, a suspension, which is what I think they were going to do to Ayuk last year if he didn't get the new deal and he refused to practice. So it's one of those three things, probably, with a release, you know, as the least likely of all that set, maybe a trade in there somewhere in that mix. But those are the things that are on the board, along with either him agreeing to come in with no new deal, which I don't think is real likely, or him getting 49ers giving him something on the back end, something that will make it okay for him to come in. They probably should, but you know, I'm not spending their money. You know, a couple million here, $3-4 million, something where you can pretend it's more than that. I don't think that's happened, by the way. I don't think that offer has happened. Maybe that's what gets him in. It's gone down a far road, though, and I think the 49ers might be actually a reverse on this. They're so mad, they might be less willing to do that now than they would have been 2 weeks ago because they wanted him practicing. Like, they wanted him in camp. They wanted this to be a, you know, a nice, happy camp as opposed to what they had last year. That didn't really happen because of Juwan. I don't think they're real thrilled about it. I think we saw it on their faces yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. Tim Kawakami with us. Tim, here's what I would say if Drew Rosenhaus's agent was sitting in front of me, which is, what is your end game? In other words, like, I mean, is Juwan actually willing to miss games starting next week? It doesn't feel like he's in position to do that.
Yeah, I don't know that this is a Drew Rosenhaus driven thing. You know, he's the agent. He's had a good relationship with the 49ers. I think, you know, he understands that his client probably has earned more money, so he's asking for it. I don't know that we haven't heard this rattling from him except for that one shot in the ESPN that he wants a new deal or he'll ask to be traded. They've asked to be traded. But beyond that, we haven't heard this stuff that you usually hear with Drew. So I think this is more Juwan, if you ask me, and that's okay. It's his right. It's his right to play it out as hard as he can. So I don't know that it's Drew Rosenhaus thinking this. I think it's Juwan Jennings saying, I'm a $25 million a year player. Probably, you know, he was last year. Will he be in the future? Do the 49ers have to pay for last year? No, but you get some of the logic there, and they're going to desperately need a receiver while Ayuk is coming back, while DeMarcus Robinson is suspended, or it's a bet against Ricky Pearsall in Juwan's mind. But I think this is, if you ask me, again, I don't know, but if you ask me, knowing how Drew has operated and knowing that he's had, and he was Frank Gore's agent. 49ers have a really good, I should say really good, have a solid relationship with Drew Rosenhaus. They really haven't gone to the wire with him. I don't know that it's him. I think this is a player-driven situation, and it might be up to the player to figure out how he gets back in. Because you're right, he does not win by not getting game checks. He does not make himself a better free agent at the end of the season by missing games or by being a malcontent or by skipping practice. The other thing, though, is he's 28. At the end of this year, when he goes into the offseason, he's going to be 29. And those are not the greatest years to go in to market as a free agent as a wide receiver. So it might be now or never. And I do think that's part of Jennings' position and maybe Rosenhaus's too. This is it. This is when he's going to get it or not. And he might not get it. But I don't think he's going to be in a better situation, even if he plays out the season, when he's 29. It's just the reality of NFL life sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a tough spot because he just got his deal last year, and I don't even know, Tim, we've heard about incentives on this deal, and then we heard there's no incentives. What exactly would he be playing for if he shows up and plays football for the Niners?
Yeah, it's game checks for sure. If you get suspended, then you don't get game checks. Otherwise, it's very confusing, and I might have added to it or spot rack added because they had him listed as being able to get more incentives if he could, but as John Lynch said, that was last year. He already hit them last year. So it's bizarre. He does have game bonuses. They're not huge. It's like for a total of about $800,000. Now, that's not nothing, but he does have game bonuses that he would not qualify for if he's not on the roster each week. There is some weird little thing that this option bonus, $3.4 million, that he qualified for last year by hitting those numbers, is paid on September 1. It is guaranteed money, so it's going to him at some point. But if the 49ers trade him before that's coming up, and that's Monday, then that cap hit doesn't go on their books. It goes to the traded team's books. I'm the one saying I don't think a trade's happening, but that just watch that. I'm aware of that. There's this weird language in there, and we know how sharp 49ers are on this stuff. It's the wording in there is very interesting. So be aware of that. I am aware of that. I don't expect a trade to happen, but if it does, understand that September 1, that's Monday, might be the deadline for that specific thing. I don't think they want to trade him. I think they want him on the team. They just want him at the number they've got him at, and they don't want to go anywhere close to the number he wants to be at. This is ticking down. I thought it might be over by now, but I think there is enough feeling in there that they can figure this out and get him on the field early in the season, and it's worth it to them, that they haven't decided to take the Nikola option yet. It might be coming pretty soon, though.
Tim, speaking of trades, do you think the 49ers made a call on Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I almost tweeted that. I bet you they did, you know, just to see. I don't think the Cowboys were too interested in doing that, and the 49ers are not too interested in paying $47 million a year, by the way, so that might have been a problematic situation for them. Already into Bosa for 34, and then what do you tell Bosa at that point? You probably just have to tell Bosa, here's another 47 for you. So I don't know that it was realistic, but you know they probably just said, "Hey, would you want Juwan Jennings for and what else?" You know, they make that call. I'm not saying they would have thought it was serious, but you made the call to see if you can do it. I really I didn't tweet it out there because it's not realistic, but you make the call. You have the cap room. Michael Parsons is 26 years old. Who would at least make the call? People get mad when I say things like that, especially with the Warriors. But you make the call, right? If you don't make the call, then you don't have Kevin Durant on your team at that point, or Jimmy Butler. You know, you make the call. They weren't going to get him. I don't know how in the world they could have done it. You know, it would have taken some things that they didn't have. But again, I always have this fear of aggregation when I'm just talking, but I think so they would have said, "Hey, you want Brandon Ayuk?" You might have had that conversation. But yeah, if you're Cowboys, you're not doing that. You're doing it for what you did for the Packers. So, yeah. But yes, funny that you should ask me because it was on my mind. Like, they might just throw a call out there and say, "What would it take?" And then they would have said, "Okay, I guess we can't do it. Thank you very much." And happy times to him in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, the aggregation from this conversation is Kawakami says Ayuk to Parsons swap was discussed, which of course is not at all what you said. But
that's a Dibley special. Why don't you get aggregated for once?
Because I'm too busy stealing from other people. I'm too busy taking your stuff, Tim, and using it for my my own devices. Seriously, though, if you're another team and you see what Green Bay had to give up, two firsts and a player, you'd be kicking yourself. Are you stunned that the Cowboys didn't do better in this trade?
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible trade. Let me say that. I'm not stunned that that's the trade you get now. Really, that's the trade you do now because teams don't. It's a limited field of what's available. You got to have the cap space. You got to be ready to do it. You got to feel like you're a contender right now. It's the same thing that I thought the Raider trade Khalil Mack to the Bears was stupid because you limited the field. You do it at the draft, everybody's in on it, right? It's a bidding war because everybody can create cap space or has cap space, can imagine it. You get the picks. You can put the pick right in there and draft the person. You know what spot it is. It's just so much easier and better to do it if you're the trading team in April. Well, the Cowboys and the Raiders at the time weren't smart enough to do that. So 2-1s is about what you're going to get. Teams aren't trading 3-1s. For anybody, unlike the 49ers, for Trey Lance. But that was April, right? That was March, actually. So yep. I'm not surprised it was a bad deal, but it was a bad deal. It's at any point you get yourself in that situation, it's usually going to be a bad deal for one of the greatest players in football, and he is at 26. So do I think it was an incredible trade for the Packers? Absolutely. Am I flashing back to when they acquired Reggie White and went to got the Super Bowl title? Yes. But, man, you get down, you get backed into this sort of situation, you very rarely get a good deal. You know, it's like the 49ers with IU last year. They didn't make a trade. Of all these reports that they were going to make a trade, they didn't because they weren't offered very much. They really weren't. And, you know, at some point, you just want to keep the good player if you're a smart team. It didn't work out great for the 49ers. Maybe it will down the road. But if you're in this spot, if you've screwed up so badly, I almost said a bad word there. I'm glad I caught myself.
Oh, nice.
Then I thought I was on a podcast for a second.
Go for it, Tim. We got you.
You're going to make a bad. You're going to make a bad trade. Like just you're going to make a bad trade. It's the way it goes. So, yeah, would the 49ers love to have given two first round picks for Michael Parsons? If they could have, they would have. But he can't do it now. It's like it's really hard to do it now. The Packers were just set up to do it. But I don't think the 49ers, you know, would have been at all upset if Michael Parsons ended up in the AFC. Hmm. You know, he's got to go from the Cowboys to the Packers, and if you're the 49ers and you think you're going to have a good season, you're probably going to have to go to the Packers at some point. You got to deal with number 11. And then number 11 was tough on him in that playoff game where they won, right? They beat the Cowboys, but it was hard to block that guy. I mean, they came out of that one going, that was rough. And they might see him again if they are in playing into January. And I don't think anybody wants to see that guy on the side of the field.
Tim, real quick, if I take away the wide receiver room, what's your biggest concern for the Niners this year?
You know, they got a bunch of them. I'd say how the offensive line holds up. Now, that's Kyle Shanahan would disagree with me. We've had this debate several times. They think their offensive line is fine. I think it's under-talented. And, man, if you lose Trent Williams, I don't know what you're going to do. We've seen it before. It's just a, you know, it generates a lot of things that they can run the ball. And if you can't block for the run, you can't block for the pass, you're going to be in some trouble. But they're pretty confident about it. They just haven't invested a lot in it. But we'll see. I think if the offensive line breaks down, then a lot of things just blow to pieces. Now I'll put McCaffrey in there. I've just kind of stop talking about McCaffrey because we just don't know. You know, we didn't know he was going to be hurt going into week one last year, and then he was. I just kind of put him to the side. Obviously, incredibly important player. Red zone, you know, they had so much trouble scoring touchdowns last year. He scores touchdowns. He helps you in all facets. He helps Purdy. He helps the defense. I almost put that aside. I'll just say offensive line because I think it's under-talented, but it's coached well, and they can get by with them. They've had good offenses with this level of talent. They got to the Super Bowl playing all sorts of guys that aren't Pro Bowl players. But other than receivers, if you're betting that the young defensive linemen are good, and we'll see. We'll see if they're still healthy. I think Mykal Williams is going to be very good. I'll say offensive line, just the level of talent doesn't seem to be, you know, it's certainly risking a lot if you lose Trent Williams and if you lose, you know, even if you lose like a Ben Bartsch, you know, who is certainly not a Pro Bowl player, but they're counting on him. If Pooney's hurt now, if he can't make it back for week one. They're going to have a lot of question marks. They don't like hearing it, and they will argue about it all day long if you ask. But I think that is a potential problem area for them. I still think it is. I would have just been drafting tackles like every year, and they don't believe in that. They just don't believe in that. I respect that they don't believe in it. I respect that they have not fallen apart because they coach them well and they know what they're doing. But at some point, they might, and the level of depth is just not there when you have a couple injuries. Now, that you can say that about every position and every team in football, but that one, I would say, watch out a little bit there. And also, I might say the kicker, but we talk a lot about the kicker. So that's
exactly. Yeah. Tim, great stuff. We thank you, and we'll see you on Twitter after Dibs' tweet.
Yeah, Dibs, go knock him dead. The aggregators are lining up for the Dibs report.
Cal will call me down on O-line.
No, Dibs. Dibs says, it can't be me, it's Dibs. Dibs,
yeah, report. The tweet's already been composed. Enjoy right. The responses.
It is draft. All right, Dibs is going to get blocked at 5:05 by Tim. Tim, thank you very much. Tim Kawakami, SF Standard. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll react to all of that. Let's hear from you. You just heard that. That's as close as you're going to get to inside. Are you worried about this Juwan Jennings situation or not? 888-957-9570 is the number. It's Willard and Dibs.
I almost said a bad word there. Everything I've heard is like he wants a lot, and the 49ers are offering very little. I'll put it that way. If I could generalize it like that, and I think we can all kind of write in what the money terms are based on that, but it's far apart. I've been hearing this. I've been writing this for several weeks now. Right? It's not close, and it's pretty clear it's not close still. I almost said a bad word there.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, lead story coming out of the Tim Kawakami conversation, he doesn't trust Mark Grandy.
Oh, I thought it was, I didn't even think that he was a cusser. I don't listen to all his podcasts, but he doesn't strike me as a guy who goes to the cuss. Like, I'll cuss on the air. I did it once, and Grandy plays it all the time, but I will swear, off the air, I've been known to cuss, but Tim doesn't strike me as a cusser.
Well, maybe, at a certain point in life, you're just like, bleep it. What's anybody going to do? And that's what I would tell Tim. Like, give it a try. They'll like you more on YouTube, number one. And Grandy's got your back.
Yeah.
So he's going to take care of you, and he's going to dump it, and nobody in the radio world would have heard it, but he doesn't trust him. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's it.
Sorry, Grandy.
We had Feliciano on last week, and he swore twice, if I'm not mistaken, and almost a third time.
He tried to swear like eight times, and that's why everybody loved him.
Yep.
Everybody loved him. So, anyway, Cowboys are having a press conference right now as we speak with regard to the Micah Parsons trade. If you're just joining us, yes, I'm not making it up. Micah Parsons is a member of the Packers, two first-round picks, and what's my man's
Kenny.
Name? Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark, nose tackle Kenny Clark, is now going to the Cowboys. That's the trade. And Jerry Jones said, there's no question I could have signed him in April, but this was by design. I did make Micah an offer, and it wasn't acceptable, and I honored the fact that it wasn't done how he wanted. And so off they go. And that's it. One of the best players on defense in the league is now a member of the Green Bay Packers.
It continues to baffle me, not only when this happened, but where it actually wound up happening. You sent him to one of the powers in the NFC. You're in the NFC. And I don't know if Green Bay has Dallas on their schedule. I'll look that up. But if you're going to be a playoff team, and so are they, you're going to have to face him.
Week 4, my man.
Where?
Week 4.
Where?
Where is the game? I was going to do where's John.
Right.
The game is... in the game is in Dallas.
Oh boy.
September 28th, Micah back in Dallas, Sunday night football.
Da 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 sketta sketta da 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 Micah. He's going to wreck them. He will have about 7 sacks. Jerry's wrinkled face will cry because Parsons is a Packer.
That was fun.
Thank you. For those of you on the YouTube, I was close to the music.
I mean, whatever. I bet it really sounded good on YouTube. A cappella.
Very weird.
But anyway, yeah. Sunday Night Football, week 4. Packers at Cowboys.
Whoa. I would put the over-under right now at 3.5 sacks for Micah Parsons.
I'll take
and
the
I'm
under,
taking the over.
Yeah, no, I'll take the under.
Yeah, it's
now it's gonna be good.
And if the Cowboys go into that game 0-3, and which could happen. I mean, they'll have played three games.
I
but
mean, they host the Giants week.
Fine.
Two.
No matter how they go in there, unless they're cooking with Crisco, that could be an angry fan base. And we've already seen Dallas fan turn on the Mavericks and what they did with Luka Doncic.
It just feels different, man.
And this trade feels worse than that.
Yeah, but no, because I'm already, like, I don't know. Like, I'm surprised by the Dallas reaction that I've seen, which, you know, the loyalty out there to the Cowboys, I guess, runs really, really deep. I mean, we've only been listening to a handful of radio hosts so far, so I don't know what the whole fan base feels, but I think that they know what the fans think, and people tend to, you know, what came on and said he's been getting text messages all day, and it's from a lot of people going, yeah, bleep that guy.
Yeah, good riddance.
Good riddance. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This might be a little bit more like the Rafi Devers trade then, because Boston, when they trade Devers, you know, a lot of that was kind of good riddance vibes.
Yeah, but there
Jonathan
was like,
Papelbon came on this very show.
There was a very specific piece of behavior where he was bucking what the team was asking him to do. I guess you could translate this the same way, but this is contractual.
Yep.
This is different than Micah being like, I don't want to play defensive end anymore. You got to make me a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
I don't know, man. I've never heard of a fan base feeling that way about a homegrown star. I've never heard of that, where a fan base is just like, yeah, get out of here. Get out of
totally.
Here. Like, you know what I mean? Get off my team.
He's a little runt.
Get off my team, you amazing 26-year-old drafted star. I don't want you.
No, can't have you.
You got into a disagreement with my old, crotchety, hands-on-too-many-things owner. So I'm with him. What? Are you nuts? Like, dude, you want to talk about being institutionalized. What on earth kind of a fan are you? Siding with your owner who thinks he's a GM over your 26-year-old drafted superstar? That's nuts.
It is nuts, but when you look at their situation with CeeDee Lamb's contract and Dak's contract, the cards were kind of already laid out and played out to where, yeah, Micah wasn't just going to settle for $40 million when the market dictated that he could get $47 average annual value. And so if the Cowboys are thinking, we can't do that, and they basically botched the whole process of the negotiation anyway, they really left themselves with no choice.
No doubt, no doubt. Although, and because that one's at such a high level of finances, I don't think there's any way to do this. What I really took from the Tim Kawakami conversation, and if you're just joining us, he was just on with us, a lot of stuff on the Juwan Jennings situation, Odyssey app or YouTube, if you want to go back and listen to it. But here's what my big takeaway was. The 49ers, the only thing that they would probably need to do in order to get Juwan into camp right now is they need to make it okay. They need to create a way for him to save face, in other words. Because Tim just, and again, this is just his reporting and a suggestion, but what's the question you and I have been asking for 2 weeks?
What's the number?
What is he asking for?
Yep.
Well, Tim suggested that he's asking for multiple years at 20-plus million per year. Well, I don't know anybody in the world who doesn't think that's bananas. That's bananas.
We're not doing 20 million a year.
You don't get that off of your circumstantial 977 yards that came because Ayuk's leg blew up, Debo gained weight, and the whole thing fell apart. Ricky got shot. Like, you don't get to do that because that's not who you are on this team, and it's not who you're going to be on this team. So that's a no from them, dog. But here's the problem. As Tim put it, the Niners are feeling like, we don't want to talk about anything. We don't want to give you anything. Well, now Juwan gets into a spot, and this is, you have to decide. The Niners can either just play without Juwan this year and just be like, tough stuff, dude. We're not giving you anything. You want to show up? Show up. You don't? Don't. We're moving on. Kendrick Bourne. Hashtag MVS. Whatever the heck it is. But if you do want Juwan, you might be right to help him save face. We don't know what he's been asking for. Throw on a couple million bucks and make it look like Juwan just wanted some guarantees for this year. You know what I mean? Like, he's got it. You got to create a way for this to not be wholly embarrassing for him with the tail between the legs. Again, you don't have to, but that might be what gets him in. Because that's why I was saying yesterday, I don't know what his options are anymore.
Yeah, and I don't know if the team even wants to go down that road, because then again, you are creating this precedent, and the precedent's already been set where, you know, a lot of players have wanted more money, and some of them you've given, and some of them you haven't. Charvarius Ward wanted money from the Niners. He wanted a contract, and they told him no, and he was in his feelings, and he eventually went out and got the money from Indianapolis as a free agent. Easier to do it as a top corner than it is as a, you know, tier three wide receiver. If he wants $20 million average annual, there's only about 20 or so guys who actually make that, and Juwan Jennings is not a top 20 receiver.
No.
And he's, and Tim actually gave this answer, and I've thought about it a lot before. His value to the Niners is greater than his value to the rest of the league.
The Draymond Green of the NFL, apparently.
Not bad. Yeah, it's not bad at all. And, you know, Draymond on this team being able to play point forward and guard, you know, positions 1 through 5, that has value on many, many teams. But watching he and Steph work together, yeah, Draymond Green and the edge he brings and the force and all the rest of it, that's true. And it's the same thing, I think, with Juwan Jennings.
This is a terrible analogy, but it's the only one I can think of right now. So Buddy Hield, game 7 against the Houston Rockets.
My name's Buddy.
He goes to the Warriors and says, I'm averaging 33 points a game over the last one game.
In a game 7.
So pay me, I average 33 points per game. Again, that's a terrible analogy.
Because he's under contract and you actually can't.
Right. It's overstating what Juwan's doing. But if I'm the Niners, dude, hold on. We give you a new deal. You go for 280 yards. We give you a new deal. You go out there. We love you. You ball out. We needed you to. We had all kinds of just terrible things happen to our team and our wide receiver room and all of that. You go out there. You do an admirable job. However, going forward, what we would like you to do, kind of tuck back into the player you used to be. Because now we got Ricky Pearsall. And Brandon will be back. We signed DeMarcus Robinson. And so we kind of see you as maybe, you know, how about probably 400 or 500 yards a year or something.
How about third and Juwan?
Yeah, something along those lines. And you want $20 million a year? Like, we can do maybe something, maybe. But that's like astronomical.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And if you dig in on that, then I get it. Boy, that helped me really understand why we're here. This is not just far apart. This is two people who are looking at situations from a completely different area code.
It's a little bit, and all roads do lead in one direction. And yep. I do think that this is reminiscent of Kuminga, where after his third year, he sees all those rookie extensions happening, and he says, I'll have what they're having. And the Warriors are saying, no, we're not doing a max for you, a guy who we bring off the bench and eventually we'll issue DNPs to. So this feels a little bit like that, where the player and his representation have a different thought of their worth than the team that's the one that's going to issue the contract.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. 5 o'clock,